New for 96. With your hosts, Kevin McCauley and Chris Nguyen.
Do you think it's possible to throw up and smile at the same time? Throw up and laugh at
Ask
the same time?
Ask me last Wednesday.
I know it's possible to throw up and cry at the same time.
That's very possible.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yes.
Man, I sometimes before the show, I actually do sit down and like try to write.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Write little dumb jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before, but I didn't do that today.
I didn't do that today. But yeah. I was wondering when you had your Cayman.
Yes.
It was not the S.
It was not the S. Base. It was a base. 987.2 base.
Very normal engine.
Very normal.
Yeah.
2.9.
Did you sell it because it was because that engine was so mid?
To understand this joke, you would have to follow along with Kevin's content. Because he goes through a whole Andy Rooney segment on his U-Tube channel about the word mid.
Wow. Usually you call it U-Rube.
U-Rube. Yeah. Or is there a Law & Order equivalent? You know how they
Yeah. Face Union.
Face Union is Facebook on Law & Order.
Yeah.
What is the YouTube equivalent?
Oh, man. I don't know.
I know it's like the letter U in something, I think.
Yeah. And we could find this, but we won't.
The graphic design for like those fake sites are terrible.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
It looks like a porn site, which right. It might be.
Could be now.
Yeah.
They probably didn't renew the domain.
Probably not.
So.
It was SVU, so anyways. Was that the Cayman joke that you had a Cayman on the list of topics to speak about?
No.
No?
That? Oh, no.
How long have you been waiting for
I wrote that one? I wrote that January 19th, or January 15th, according to the Asana. Yeah.
That's right, folks. We are actually, there is organization behind this chaos,
no,
surprisingly.
I posted a screenshot of Asana once on Instagram, and Shaheen was like, oh, he made a comment about the Asana.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. I see people using Asana at, like, coffee shops, and it does give me shivers because, well, you don't use Asana because you work for yourself. And
right.
So, I mean, I guess
you could.
And
I'm clearly unorganized.
Yeah, yeah. You could use Asana in your day-to-day household activities.
Yeah, Laura uses it a lot.
Okay.
And we have some shared things that I don't check.
I see.
Yeah.
Mainly like check on baby, task not completed, right. Not completed. Take baby off of car roof.
Yes.
Yeah. Why is there no sensor for that?
Hmm.
You know how they have the backseat thing?
And they've got, parking sensors.
Yeah. I mean, the car will beep when the baby falls off the back of the car, I guess. Yeah, as you're reversing. There's that. I don't know. I would love to be in the drawing room when you're supposed to be coming up with these ideas for like random car safety features. Do you remember when the Volvo S80, I think it was, had a heartbeat detector?
What?
Yeah. So your key fob would flash or like beat, like the light would beat like a heartbeat if someone was waiting in your car.
What?
So it was meant to be. I remember the commercial.
But
it was,
every other car, it flashes normal.
Yeah, I guess so.
It flashes like to show that it's armed.
Yes. Oh, well, no. So your
key fob. Your
key fob. Yeah, okay, alerts you that there is someone in the car waiting for you.
Yes. And which, everyone that's read page 372 of their manual will know this.
Yes, exactly. So I bet you there are a lot of like on Swede Speed, which is a real forum name, that people are like, what is this? Why is my car blinking?
Famous last words.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are no more.
Right.
After that. Say, I don't remember my car having air scarf. Uh-oh. And you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those, but there are like a lot of really weird features in cars that like live for one generation and that's it.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I don't know of any safety ones, but I know like the E65 7 Series, it like would turn the wiper blades.
Oh, yeah.
It was so stupid. It was like so that they wouldn't get deformed.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good idea, I guess, but it's probably like a load-bearing mechanism that disabled the entire car when it broke.
Yeah.
So much like the dynamic seats in the E60 that our friend Daniel told us about.
Yes.
That somehow disabled the car's... It disabled the matrix in the car, and it wouldn't work because of that. And so because he told me that, I never used the dynamic seats in the E63 wagon.
Uh-huh. Look where they got you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they do break.
They do.
As you saw.
Do you have opinions about the Toyota Crown?
I don't have strong opinions on it. I guess it's...
Friend of the show, Will, asked us what we thought of the Crown.
It is...
6 months ago.
Yes. It is, I guess, an answer that no one asked the question to as far as... I don't know why it exists. I don't mind that it exists, I guess. I mean, it's a sedan that people are still buying. What is it, a sedan or is it a hatch?
It's a sedan, but no one's buying it. I mean, it's like a cooler Avalon, but it's just too little,
but it's
too
smaller.
Late.
Yeah, it's smaller than an Avalon.
Is it?
I think it's like Camry sized.
Okay.
You just can't tell because it's so tall. It looks bigger.
I don't know. I think the styling is cool. I think the styling is good.
I think it looks good.
It would have been better 10 years ago before sedans all died.
I also think the variants that other markets get that where it's not lifted looks better.
Sure. It is such a half-hearted lifted thing too, where it's not really a sport utility sedan.
Right.
It's just we made a car that has a crossover belt line.
The question is, I mean, does it even have a crossover belt line, or is it just lifted and so it just...
Well, it's just every car is tall now, so
yeah.
Every vehicle has a high belt line, and then I guess if you lift it, it becomes taller.
I just want to know, and maybe there's rationale out there officially from Toyota, but why is it lifted is the question.
Crumbling infrastructure.
I guess so.
They see the reports of America on their televisions and they're like, wow,
Did they?
It's a war zone.
Yeah. Or did someone? Was someone a fan of the Volvo S60 Cross Country? From that lived for about 1 second. I don't remember what generation. It was at least. I don't know Volvo S60 generations anymore. I used to.
Of course.
But it was the one where the headlights were like the W212 Mercedes. It was like a quad headlight, but obviously roundier.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, fine. But I think that's the one that had the cross country. So it was a lifted sedan as well.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool.
Heartbeat
detection. No, that was only for people who had studied hard and could afford the S80.
Wow.
So
the quad headlight.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But I'm picturing ovals, but no, it's little pointy things. Tinier pointy thing next to the grill.
Yeah.
But
I guess the design of the cars then were a little bit, they were bulbous, kind of.
They were bulbous, yeah.
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 Because then they
Well, this was the
them.
Era where they would launch every car in the sort of metallic orange.
Yeah. Which was a good orange
color. Yeah, yeah. It was good.
Yeah. The original S60, I remember that was the launch color for that car, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Okay. I just remember that car being shown in that color.
Yeah, I think everything from
the
C70 until they switched to the modern design language was shown in that metallic copper orange color.
I forgot about that. I even have a diecast of that C70 in that color.
Yeah, made by TWR.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, the car, not the model.
The car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The model is made by DNA Models, which is now defunct.
Is it?
It is defunct.
Those are the ones that made Swedish cars, right?
Yeah, they made all sorts they made Saab 9.5 wagons and Volvo 242 GTs, and they took a bunch of orders in 2021 or 2022 and then just never fulfilled them and disappeared.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. So now are those expensive on eBay?
I think they're getting there. They're cool model. They're 3D printed, so they don't feel heavy, but the designs themselves are neat. But
very cool.
Back to real cars.
Sure.
So the Crown I think it looks nice.
We don't need to go any deeper than this.
I guess.
But it's like, I don't know if Dimensions, if it's bigger than Avalon, but it, like, I think it looks good, but I think
this is the point. Like, you cannot tell how big it is, what it is, like, how tall it actually is. It is kind of a mystery.
Yeah.
I see a lot of them, or maybe it's the same one, but yeah. I feel like I see like two every week, which for like such a niche car, I feel like is a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So, but someone's buying them.
Yeah. Two-tone is cool.
The two-tone is cool. I do wish, again, yeah, we got the other variants. Sure. And I don't know if they would sell necessarily. So, I feel like Toyota buyers, they have their, like, niche that they, if you're a RAV4 buyer, that's the only car. You're going to buy, like, six generations of that car. Like, your sister.
Yeah.
This is her first?
It's her first RAV4, but she's a true enthusiast.
Yes, indeed. She's on a Facebook group. I mean, she's on Facebook, first of all, and then she is also in a group.
I just used the wrong coaster, and you gave me the sternest death glare while pointing vigorously at your coaster.
Don't make me tap the sign again. We have cork coasters so that when we're recording, it doesn't clang. But instead, he chooses to go out of his way to use the marble coasters.
People listen for the clang. That's what they want to hear.
They listen for the cork. The uncorking and the cork.
We don't have a cork.
We don't have a cork. Oh, yeah. We don't have a cork because we bought
the cork with the clang.
Yeah. Well, because we buy the whiskey in bulk, the barrel doesn't come with a cork. So it's just an open hole. So you have to drink it all before it goes bad, mm-hmm. which, you know, in the course of a podcast recording, is about the whole barrel. So,
yes,
indeed. What's next? What else are we going to complain about?
We got a lot of Porsche complaints.
Oh yeah.
And so there's a Singer and there's the Macan EV.
Let's do it.
All right. The Macan EV was a month ago now.
Yeah.
But
no one's seen one yet because they aren't not yet released. However, so friend of the show, Libby, has put her name down for one, and she said that summer deliveries are being promised right now.
Okay.
Which seems like really fast. I mean, I guess they've been in development / production.
Yeah.
Potentially. So it's coming up. Now, we were a little bit critical of the design. So this is essentially, I don't know if it's on a, it's so it's basically the same platform as the ICE car. But it is...
No, I think it's a new platform.
Is it a completely new platform?
I think it's a new platform, and they're going to do like what the upcoming Mini is doing, where they're going to have the old one carry on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the new one will be electric only.
Okay.
But they will still sell an old platform version.
Yeah. The design, like the face, is a little bit fussy for my liking, but I think the concept... I mean, like this was inevitable, and this is the perfect Porsche product to do this with, I feel like.
Yeah, it is. It's like 10 grand less than a Taycan.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's very expensive. I thought it would be maybe a little less expensive to start. And my complaint with it is the same complaint I have for 99% of EVs on the road, is that they are all this blob crossover. Like, it is a crossover, but it's like, it's just like we stuck a car on top of a battery skateboard.
Yeah.
And this is what you get. And yeah. It's like a Ford Edge with the edges filed smooth. And that is the proportion of every EV on the market, except the Taycan. We're seeing the Taycan with like worse proportions.
Yeah.
Because it's the Taycan, it's like the worst Taycan styling.
Well, it's squished. It's a squished Taycan.
Right, basically. But it's just like the Taycan is so like lean and low and cool, and it is the only EV on the market that is low and not a blobby crossover.
Yes.
And so it's like when Porsche comes out, they're like, hey, look, we made this. It's the thing you like, but as blob crossover.
I'm going to say that I think the proportions, like where everything sits, is like the current on sale today ICE car. And it's just the design elements that make it look like that. I know what you're talking about when you call it kind of like a blobby edge looking thing. And it does kind of look like that.
It looks denser than the current Macan.
I think it's just the design elements. Like,
I mean, it's not the same platform. It is like a new thing.
Sure. But I think the dimensions are probably very similar.
Yeah.
And I think the side blade they've kind of like de-emphasized that, which did help with the kind of thickness of the side, the slabular nature of the side.
Mm-hmm.
And the face is somehow less, so they've gone kind of like semi-grill-less with it, but then added a bunch of like aggressive vent things down at the bottom. And so I think now you have like this weird proportional balance where like the headlights seem really high. Therefore, like the bumper looks really
well. It's
because
we're used to looking at the Taken,
yeah,
and which looks so good because it is low and
yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is always going to be the way forward, I feel like. So yeah, you're not going to be able to get away from that. But it, I think it'll be interesting.
Sure.
The pricing is, maybe they'll have better package pricing than the Taken. I mean, the Taken, you buy what, it's like $89,000-$90,000 to start,
yeah,
and then you add one option and it's over 100K.
Yeah, well, that seems to be working for them, so I don't see that changing. But this is like 80K, right, to start?
It thought it started in the 70s, but maybe it's the 80s.
I mean, I think like, it's at 80 or like 79.
I feel like they're probably going to package, because I don't know if the Taken has packages, but the Macan currently does have packages. Like if you get a Macan T, say, for instance, you quote unquote save money,
mm-hmm,
because it throws in some bits for a discounted price, I guess. And so I don't know if they're going to do that with this one, but I don't know. I think people are probably more willing to buy this as a base price, base model. I mean, people, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, because people are going to spec this thing well over $100,000 more often than they are not. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
my verdict is it's fine and it's good. It's not a bad car. It's just like, I just have a growing displeasure with like the EV form factor and just how it is so samey everywhere.
Did you see that Mercedes just announced that they're going to be de-egging their EVs?
I did see a thing about that, yeah. That's, but they're like, we're gonna make it look like this CLA concept with the star headlights.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's now,
we're going away from egg and we're gonna make everything look like the CLA.
Yeah. Well, actually, that CLA concept does look good, I thought.
It's okay.
I thought it looked good. I'm not like, I do kind of, I think the star motif is now just like completely overused. I hate, what is it, the EQS has this wheel, the wheels with like the star
the
pattern,
stars.
The micro stars in it.
I think that's cool.
Do you like that?
I like
just think
it.
It's just so much. Like,
it's cool in pictures and stuff. It's not as good in photos because it looks like one like cast plate.
We saw one in person
in
LA. I think Daniel Golson had a press car and it had the star wheels.
This.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I do remember that.
Yeah. So they've moved away from the... Wait. Does it have a light-up star as well, the CLA concept? So in addition to light-up star headlights...
I'm not sure if it does.
Okay. I've started to see broken light-up stars where it's like half-lit or flickering.
But could that be aftermarket?
That is also a good possibility, that they are aftermarket. But still, I assume they still sell... These. Mine does not have that. Yours cannot have that.
No.
Because you have the traditional grill on yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a good wagon yesterday.
Ooh.
Base model 213 wagon. Oh. Well, but it was still sport line.
Sport line,
still
good.
Yeah. It's such a good roof line.
It's a good roof line. Yeah.
It's very good.
I know that I just got this E53, but as we know, like this is where I'm finding peace at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
In this car, and I like it. It is the perfect daily driver. It may be slightly characterless, but it is what I need right now. I think I really want to get a S213 E63. I think that's going to be the hunt now.
Ooh, that could be very cool.
So now it's just a matter of finding one. So there are catastrophic faults to it, of course. So if I can find one with all that done with, that was kind of the downfall of the one that I had before, the 212 E63 wagon, was that basically all of the bad maintenance had not yet been done when I bought this car, and so it came due by the time I sold it. It's still not done as far as I know, yeah. It was listed, and then it disappeared. Who knows where it went?
Incredible.
I know.
Someone 4 months later, got the car of their dreams.
Yeah, indeed. Anyways.
So you tracked the car. You tracked, like, you followed it.
I did.
And it did, after you traded in your old E63.
Yeah.
It did not sell, and they lowered the price and lowered the price and lowered the price.
Yeah. I tracked the car, my car, and it was at a Mercedes dealership here, and it kept getting reduced in price. And I thought, the price that they initially asked, I thought it was going to sell, like, immediately. And it basically got dropped down to the price that I traded it in for. So I don't know if someone ended up buying it or it went to auction. I mean, it's kind of a shame. I still loved that car. It's just, and the last thing I wanted to do was to see it go to auction because, you know, I don't know where it's going to end up, but that's that. And I did have an AirTag in it. Not intentionally. I left it in there, mm-hmm. and I forgot to take it out when I basically gave them the car. And so it I could see it for a little while. The battery died, so I can't see where it is now, unfortunately.
Too bad.
I know. I might just, no, that, I guess that's kind of creepy. I was going to say, every single car that I sell now, I might just keep an AirTag in it just to see where it goes.
Just but, accidentally leave it there.
Yeah, but the problem is that you get a notification that, like, an AirTag is, like, following you. That is not ideal, I suppose. So no.
I mean, it seems like an honest mistake. And if they can't find it, then...
Yeah, I hide it pretty well. Like, yeah. I could work for... The classic tracking, car tracking company?
LoJack?
LoJack.
Yeah.
You know how they advertise? Like, they hide it in, like, an unfindable place?
Okay.
I think I'm pretty good at that.
Or just only sell your cars to Android users.
Yeah, or that, yeah. So the AirTag in the E63 was hidden in the vanity mirror in the visor, where I don't think anyone would find that.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Wow. I'm kidding, of course. But it was in the trunk. I mean, if anyone ends up buying that car, it is in the... I hid it in one of the trunk compartment panels.
Okay.
Like the carpeted panels that you open up. Okay. And so I would like it back if you find it. On to the next.
Do you want to talk about Brad's... Sure. Article about Singer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, friend of the podcast, Bradley Brownell, one of the founders of Radwood, also Jalopnik contributor.
Yeah.
Posted recently an article on Jalopnik about singers. And it was an opinion piece. It was an op-ed.
Sure, yeah.
About the fact that all resto mods, Singer included, obviously, are all terrible, but in particular so he was talking about the 964 and how they're being resto modded, and singers are also, his take was basically singers are bad and resto mods just in general are bad, which I kind of agree with.
Yeah, well, and also he said, like, this Singer was commissioned and they drove it 70 miles and put it on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah.
So it's like, if we're commissioning these $1 million cars just for Bring a Trailer, it's like, we've lost the plot. Like, this is truly intended to be a driver's car, and
right.
It is well appointed and fiddled and all this stuff, but it is supposed to be a driver's car. And it's like, we have lost it if we are cutting up cars to make these lavish things for $1 million just to go flip on bat. Like, it's very stupid.
Yeah.
And we don't disagree with any of that.
No, because if it's not a trophy that never gets taken off the shelf and used, it's an investment.
Yeah.
That someone will make if you're able to, one, afford one, and then also get in line for one. But that's the thing, is that, like, yeah, the original Singers, I think the original Singers, the idea was cool. The execution was cool. They started, unfortunately, a trend with the projector bulbs in air-cooled cars.
I mean, it's funny. I remember posting a tweet on Twitter.com. It doesn't have a name other than that.
Yes.
A long time ago, it was like, oh, if you had all the money, like, what would you singerize? Like, what old car would you take and just, like, we're going to nut and bolt change, refinish everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
And it's like, in the time since that, not like I started this, but it's like, this has happened over and over with all these cars, and it sucks so much. You know, it's like, you can buy a $500,000 original Mini or a fake Diablo or a fake 037.
Yeah.
And they all are bad. And but, I think what made, well, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that the plot has been lost basically. And the resto mods that are being made nowadays, not all of them, I suppose. I mean, there's some that are kind of neat, but the
name one.
There is a mini one. I don't remember the name specifically, but there it can be done tastefully. Basically, sure. If it doesn't look like a futuristic version of an old car, if it actually looks like an old car still, and it's made from an old car, and it has the character of an old car, then I think it's good. If it basically, if all you wanted is like they will take a brand new car and wrap it around
the fake 037 or that RML Ferrari 250 SWB where it's like they take a 550 Maranello.
They took a 550 Maranello. First of all, that it's just insane.
Specs. You're paying 1.5 million pounds to have this thing that looks like one of those Corvettes that's like a C2 made out of a C6.
What is the point of that? Like it's just garbage. Pure cosplay.
It's garbage. What I think made Porsche's unique. Made the 911 unique and the Singer work, aside from the fact that they were kind of the first of this like high-end, like well, like
very
very detailed and like cohesive, you know. It's like there was a philosophy to this restoration. There was a thought
but
process.
But also the engine. The engine was a big deal.
Yeah, and what makes the 911 unique is that the 911, it was this chassis that evolved, but it was always the same hard points. It was, this, you know, from 68 to 98, it was the same wheelbase and everything.
Yeah.
And so they were able to say, like, these are kind of the greatest hits of performance, and this was the best look. Brad said that it was too wide, and I say, like, they kind of made it like the RSR.
Yeah.
Which led, like, 73, like, the 2.8 RSR is kind of what Singer went for. So it was kind of a thing the factory did.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so where I have arrived is I think all of these other resto mods that we've talked about have kind of ruined the Singer for me. The original, like the classic Singer, like we agree we don't like the DLS or the turbo or whatever, but the classic Singer I always thought was very cool and I liked it, but I think that the like seeing Jeep Wrangler headlights and LED taillights and oversized wheels on all these old cars for huge, huge money has tarnished the Singer and made it not as cool. And if I were in the market for something like that, I would want something like a Richard Tuthill car or a Garage 5001 where it's like we've massaged all the bits. We've made an amazing driver car. It looks like the most perfect original car, but it looks original.
Yeah.
And that's what I would want.
And if you've not seen the Tuthill 911,
you should go look at the video. The 11,000 RPM, the lightweight one is cool.
It's wild. Like Chris Harris does a video driving one, and it's just wild.
Yeah.
And that I completely appreciate. And, you know, I don't know if there was ever a price tag associated with that car. I'm sure it is not inexpensive.
But I think Tuthill does other commissions on other cars. So that was one extreme example. But you could have just like, you know, all of the half of the lightweighting, half of the crazy engine tech in a car that you could drive home, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be more interesting than a Singer.
Yeah, that in today's market, in that market in particular, is unique. Like, that's the thing, is that the market's gotten, not only has the market got saturated, but Singer actually makes like a lot of cars. And
well, it says that this was the 300th car, or they've announced their 300th car, or they're at 300, they're promising to do more.
Yeah.
I am personally like, it's still a small fraction of 964s. This is not driving up the price of 964s. Sure. This is not having a measurable effect. But my objection is like, if you want to drive, and this isn't about Singer, this is about all the other resto mods, like the fake Diablo. Like,
sure. Oh,
if you want
terrible.
An old car, get an old car. And if that's not right for you, then maybe you don't want an old car.
The point of an old car is that it isn't the fastest. It isn't the most like tech laden thing.
Right.
That
it is like
flawed.
An experience, and it might not be the most reliable, and it might not always work. And that's great. You're supposed to live with that.
Yes, exactly. So, I agree. And the takes, the comments, the takes are...
I didn't look.
Wow, yeah. I would say that Brad was... kind enough, I suppose, to respond to some of them very, very tactfully.
Okay.
But, like, it was probably a 95-5 split on the negative, towards the negative on that. Yeah. But it was also interesting seeing what people defined as resto mods and how we are not all on the same page as far as, like, what a resto mod, what constitutes one, I suppose.
Okay.
And I think that that might also cause some of the consternation when obviously reading through any comment section of anything, you're going to get a lot of like dummies saying things that aren't even related to the article or just like tangentially related to the headline they scanned before hopping down to the comment section. But that said,
Restomod originated from American muscle cars because they were so bad and they had 4-speed transmissions they were so bad at working in the real world.
Yeah.
I've actually, for doing photos, I've actually driven like a couple old muscle cars and one or two Restomods in the last like week and a half.
Yeah.
They don't work very well in the real world because they have 4 gears and terrible brakes and whatever. So people started 30 years ago doing big brakes and 19-inch wheels on like a 69 Camaro. And it's like, yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah.
in a new LS. Like if you had done this tastefully, it could be a cool thing, but it is, the execution always leaves a lot to be desired.
Well, okay.
And now we're seeing people do this with like Diablos.
Yeah.
And stuff.
There are two things. Well, not with the Diablo one. The Diablo one is just,
it's
terrible.
Bad.
It's just terrible.
And there's like a company wanting to do like a Testarossa one also.
Oh,
you know, it was like, what if the Testarossa had 19s?
Yeah, well, that's just it. I was going to say, like, there are two things that are common to all resto mods, bad ones especially.
eBay headlights.
So
we're talking pure buy it now.
Yeah. And oversized retro-ish looking wheels, I guess.
Yeah.
Or not even at all.
Yeah.
So those are, I mean, like, the undersized big sidewall thing is so, like, I think crucial to the aesthetic of a classic
like the
car.
Meaty tire. And,
yeah. You do not need to have, like, you know, thin sidewall, giant wheels. Like, this completely destroys, anyways.
Right. And the suspension we can go on forever to deal with that, you know, to work with that. Or it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's not tasteful.
There was one guy who was poo pooing Brad's opinion on this by saying that, well, people in the 90s were taking impact bumper cars and attaching 964 body parts to it to make it look like a 964, and that was fine. But that is not a resto mod. That is just aspirational. You had the old car and you wanted to make it look a new car.
Right.
Like what people do now, where someone will take a like E36 BMW and put in like the trapezoidal, like glow-in-the-dark angel eyes or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we see like an E90 that had like a big, terrible grill or something?
Apparently, people like the big, terrible grill enough that they will...
With a million dumb hexagons in it.
Yeah.
God, BMW. but nowadays, like if you see one of those cars, like I feel like there's been one at Jordan's shop where it's like one of those... impact bumper cars with 964 bumpers.
Yeah.
They don't stop at 964 bumpers.
Oh, no.
It's like, you know, you've got a half-finished Best Buy sound system installed.
Yeah.
You've got a spoiler from, like, a 993 GT2.
Yeah.
You've got, like, 18-inch wheels or something that and none of it works.
No.
And it's just... And it's, like, narrow body. And it's just insane. Like...
These are,
but you see, the point is, you see those cars where it's like, yeah, we forwarded the bumpers, and it's like it looks like crap now, and you mock it, because it's a basket case project.
Here's the thing, like I know that aesthetics are subjective, but no, this is objectively bad.
Yeah,
this stuff like that. So there you have it.
Yes,
there should be a rule book.
But yeah, if you want to drive an old car, you should have an old car.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the Cybertruck?
Sure. So. We just came back from Austin. We did a rally driving school called Rally Ready. And it was essentially almost two years in the making because we kept getting weathered out, basically.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It's a rally racing school. And you go on a dirt track, basically, and learn how to... So we took the one-day course. So it was car control in the dirt. which is completely different from, you know, obviously on dry pavement.
Yeah, so, learning left foot braking, making that natural. I mean, you do enough exercises that it becomes, it starts to feel natural.
Yeah.
And, you know, and from there you build, and you do look back at the end of the day and it's like, wow, like I kind of have almost muscle memory for some of these things, even though it never felt natural or comfortable.
You know,
like it was very interesting.
What it was teaching your brain to operate your legs independently.
Yeah.
Because the problem was when you start, so they start you out in a Mazda 2 and you're driving around in a circle and learning how to left foot brake around, like just driving in a big circle in dirt. And I found myself, when I was stomping on the gas, I would stomp on the brake, or I'd stomp on the brake and stomp on the gas at the same time with my other foot. And then we moved on to WRXs.
I stalled like twice because I came to a stop and I had like my foot on the brake all the way in, thinking it was the clutch.
Yeah, yeah. So it was interesting. I'm curious what like the 2-day course would have been like once you had taken that applied. We basically learned the things and applied it briefly. And it would have been interesting to do like another day where we actually, I would assume, like have a little bit more driving time to do that. But anyways, so when we were in Austin, because this took place at, what was it, Dale, Texas was where the school was?
Yeah, okay, southeast of Austin.
Yeah. And also one of our driving instructors was Brian, who used to work at Modern Air Cooled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so friend that was
of
a pleasant
surprise.
Yeah.
Potential listener.
Indeed. So that was a pleasant surprise. And so anyways, we were in Austin and we were having breakfast at this place on South Congress and you like poked me and you pointed it out and it ruined my morning seeing a Cybertruck in real life. And
I had seen three on the drive there.
Oh my, I saw multiple
from Houston.
Yeah. I saw multiple and like they're around Austin. Obviously Tesla's now, essentially based there, or it is actually based there. So they are around, and you wouldn't think it, but they are as bad as they look in pictures. So
yeah,
there is just no way around it. We didn't look at one up close. We didn't really need to. But it was just, and the people who climb out of that, they're so proud. Like the people, I think there were the two guys who were coming to the same restaurant that we were at, and you know they were hoping for like front parking so that people would gawk. And people would gawk. I mean, I would gawk.
Yeah, we would gawk.
I would walk up and
we
take a look at it.
We would discreetly take a photo.
Oh, yeah.
No one see this.
Oh, yeah. So they
pretend to take a call and I'd be like snapping away with my thumb.
Yes. And I'm sure we will see more. So you saw some being trucked to Houston.
Saw some being trucked to Houston. I saw one on the road driving to Houston.
So we're going to see that. And yeah. So we both also watched a review recently. It was Straight Pipes.
Throttle
it was
House.
Throttle House, should say. Yeah. And they had an interesting take on it that I hadn't really considered. I'll be honest, like I haven't given the Cybertruck a lot of deep thought.
Right.
Like I disliked it for many reasons, including the man behind it. But
yes,
their take on it was interesting in that it is sort of in a vacuum as an object. It is interesting, and it is, including the giant wiper blade, which one of the reviewers like lifted up. And wiper blades are really floppy, but this
just
one has
flops infinite flop. Like there's like infinite inertia to the flop. He lifts it out, and it just flops on its own.
It just flops on its own. It's like a 4-foot long wiper blade. It's insane. The Cybertruck, it's here. Get used to it, I guess, because you're gonna see it around.
Yeah, it was an interesting review. They commented how you can kick it. The visibility is truly atrocious. The steering was good, maybe not the steering feel, but the way that the ratio felt satisfying.
Oh yeah,
I thought that was interesting. They said the ride was very bad.
Ride is very bad. And one comment was really interesting because they did, of course, like 0 to triple-digit speeds multiple times, and as you approach 100 miles an hour, one of the reviewers described it like when a plane is landing and there's like buffeting from side to side and like the whole cabin is just vibrating and rattling.
The amount of wind noise.
Yes, apparently that's what it's like when you approach 100 miles an hour in a Cybertruck. It is. I mean, it exists exactly as promised. It's basically a concept. Can you even call it a concept car? It was a concept drawing. It was a child's drawing made real. And as expected, like, the shortfalls are there as promised. And it is an amazing engineering feat.
It is a shocking object that we now must interact and contend with.
If you have a CEO who basically is unconcerned with profitability, meaning like just spend as much money as possible to make sure that my ego does not get bruised, make this a reality.
Well, the stock is a Ponzi scheme, and up to now it has never faced any challenge.
Yeah.
It is a stock manipulation scam that also, as a side effect, produces some cars.
Yeah, they did backfire, though, because that court did take away the big man's windfall.
Yes.
Whatever it was, for whatever year.
Was it a bonus or a payout?
It was a payout, a bonus, I think it was. It was like $58 billion, like that. But I'm sure he's not at home clipping coupons right now.
I'm sure.
So there you have it, the Cybertruck.
If he was, he could be using the edge of the Cybertruck to do that, because part of the review was they showed that like it could take off a finger. If they had carrots and an aluminum can.
Yeah, because
they closed the front trunk
is power.
Yes.
So they took like 5 carrots and like they were fingers and placed them in the crevice, and when it closed,
it just lopped them off.
Also,
sharp edges.
The edges, like just a panel edge where like it would be rolled in a normal car.
I mean, it looks like grout. Like whenever you see pictures of where an edge meets or where one piece of stainless steel meets another piece of stainless steel, it looks like there's grout in the middle, and that is very weird.
Yeah, well, badly laid tile.
Grout, yes.
Where it's thin at one point and on the other end wide. Yeah. So, but these are not new complaints. Everyone knows if you don't like the Cybertruck, this is all the same.
Yeah.
But trust me, when you see one in real life, these thoughts will just like emerge. You will have feelings and thoughts.
The thing I was shocked from the review was that I didn't realize the headlights were in like the lower grille. I thought that bar was
I did too.
The headlights.
But it's just
that's just like the DRL, and it's like the lights are like two lights in the bottom of the front. Notice that?
I did notice that, and I didn't realize that's where those were. Yeah, I thought those were fog lamps, but and the reviewers apparently could not. It was stuck on high beam, basically.
Oh, was it? They were adjusted weird.
Or they were adjusted weird, but basically they're in the high beam position.
What else is on?
What else we got?
All right. Do you want to talk about the 356 in movies?
Oh, yeah.
So I was watching a movie from the 80s called 48 Hours, which had a 356 speedster in it. And I looked into this, and very weirdly, it was a replica, and it might be the exact same car. It might be the same replica that is in Top Gun that Kelly McGillis drives.
Wait, was this like rumored on the
forums?
This
was rumored on IMCDB, which is my homepage.
Yeah.
Also, the same replica, there was a replica 356 Speedster in Point Break that Lori Petty drives.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Top Gun. 356 comes up a lot in movies.
It does.
Licorice Pizza. And it's like, we were wondering, what does that denote? Like, what does that say about a character? Because you brought up an example of Workaholics. One of the Hemsworths played kind of a douchebag middle manager, and he had a 986 Boxster or a 996 cab.
Oh, he had a 996 cab.
996
I think it was.
Cab, and this was denoting that he was. And this is during the driving.
Yeah, because I think that this was like 991 era.
Okay, yeah.
So,
but a 356, a 356. It's. I don't think it's, even when they were cheap, it's not showing that it's.
What's curious too, I mean, especially in the 80s and 90s, it was a thing. 90210.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Right.
Like, that was Dylan's car. And I was going to say Matthew Perry. Oh my God, I've already forgotten his name.
Luke Perry.
Luke Perry, the other Perry.
The other Perry.
Although, both of them did appear in one episode together where Matthew Perry drove an impact bumper Targa.
Oh yeah, you posted that GIF.
I did,
That was your most popular tweet.
I love that.
I feel like Jalopnik ran with that tweet or something.
Maybe so, yeah. So, anyways, it is a choice. I think like a storyline choice. It wasn't just that like this was the cheapest Porsche at the time, which they were. They were probably $15,000-$20,000 cars, if that even.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it denotes like a choice for the character. Like it's cool.
It's cool and stylish, and I think
somehow
it's
accessible.
It's but it's also like not practical. So it's like a character that sort of is style over practicality.
Yeah.
Because back then with sports cars, you made a choice, and this was such an extreme example because it was a speedster, especially. Yeah. You know, most of the examples that I mentioned were speedsters, 356s. And so it is like a character that sort of suffers for the style, but they're not necessarily rich or super affluent, but like decent enough.
Yeah.
Well enough. But whatever they spent, it was on the most stylish, cool, timeless thing.
Yeah,
that may not be the most practical everyday car.
And it's always like,
but then in California, I guess it doesn't
matter. It's never a bad guy, and it's never someone you're intended to dislike.
Oh,
who has one.
That is interesting.
However, in the 80s and 90s, the people who you are supposed to dislike drive then current period Porsches.
Yeah.
And Heather Locklear, evil villain in, well, for part of Melrose Place, drove a 964 cab. And okay, that's the only one I can think of. There are other ones, obviously. What are you looking up?
Oh, in Doc Hollywood.
Oh, Doc Hollywood. Yeah, Michael J. Fox drove a 356. I mean, the list goes on and
the list goes on. So what we were talking about is, we were like, what were these worth? Because and this was like a side note, is like, why would they use replicas?
Yeah.
Why would they use replicas in 1980 when it's like this must have been a cheap car, even a speedster, must have been inexpensive, and the car didn't get destroyed, mind you. The weird thing about 48 Hours is, so it's, they used a replica, and then in the sequel, they blew it up, and they used a real, like, it was like a coupe that was cut up, and they used a real one.
Oh, weird.
To explode it.
Okay.
Which makes no sense.
No.
I asked this question to a friend of the pod, Jordan. He said maybe it was just like, just what they had, which would track if they're using one car for multiple movies.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But I did find, courtesy of the now defunct AutoWeek Classifieds Instagram account, I found a classified ad for a 356 Speedster from 1975.
Okay.
It was $4,500.
Okay.
In 1975. So that was $25,000 now.
Okay, that's still kind of a lot. I mean, not a lot, but like not throwaway.
Right. And then in 1979, there was one for $16,500.
Oh, okay.
And that is the equivalent of $74,000 today.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, so they were...
So if any of that helps.
Valued, I guess.
They were valued, yeah.
Yeah. So then, I mean, it sounds like they were more valued than impact bumper cars were. Like, not even 15 years ago... 20 years ago, you could buy, like, a Carrera 3.2 for $15,000, $12,000, something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe 356s never did have a like bottom of the market.
Especially a speedster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially that. Yeah. Curious indeed. I mean, also they're really easy to replicate. And so if you did have to blow one up, I don't know.
Yeah.
That seems like it would cost more in period to make a replica.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many kits that you could buy a replica.
Yeah.
Cheap. But also they're good for filming, like, characters look good in convertibles, and,
yeah,
and they're good for rigging up and showing the, like, and getting cameras
what's
on the car.
Cool is that it's such a neat convertible in that basically the windshield is so thin it's almost not even there,
right?
And so you just have, yeah, these characters are just kind of propped up in there,
yeah,
or they kind of pop out of the body of the car. But yeah, it's a charismatic car, and
for sure.
You know, it's not fast by any means, and it's not sporty. I mean, like, especially if you're featuring it in the 80s, these are not, you know, there are obviously faster cars or sportier cars to be had. I've never actually driven one. I know have you actually driven one a distance?
No, only like a couple blocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see. I mean, like, I don't have like high expectations that it'll like blow my mind or anything like that, but in an ultimate car collection.
I mean, take the worst 911 you've ever driven.
Yeah.
worse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's on the list for an ultimate car collection.
Yeah.
Something in there. I would, you know, I just got this one. The diecast.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We got to inspect that.
I know. Well, yeah, I tell you what, I could not, because there are, the world of 356s is very, like, nuanced. And so, like, I have no idea what denotes what. I know we learned things sometimes, and then I will forget it completely.
Yeah. It's like the alcohol makes me forget a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's weird how that, you know, it's on the label. It says that. I can't believe it actually happens, but
I used to like kind of have some, some people are like, oh, I want to learn like a foreign language.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my resolution is to learn foreign language. There was a time where it was like, I want to know what all the 356 versions are. And I couldn't even do that. Like I kind of think I could tell like a pre-A from a C. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. I couldn't tell you an A, a B, a C. Like, I no idea.
We have seen so many of them.
So many.
Like, at all of the Luft shows.
Hill Country
like,
Rally.
Hill Country Rally.
Although there's like fewer 356s every year.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I cannot tell the differences. I mean, I think they look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one day we will, you know, we'll strap down and learn our 356s.
Should that be our challenge somehow?
I guess. So if like flashcards, I'll like throw up a picture of like a twin grill and you tell me.
I mean like a quiz.
Yeah.
No, I mean like we study up on our own for a competition.
Okay.
New for 96 competition.
All right. Well, who is moderating this?
Oh, I don't know.
All right. We're going to trick Jordan into moderating this, which means
he's not going to know.
I know. That's what's going to make this extra... extra fun. Okay. Well, well, this is a dumb idea, but let's do it anyways.
This is a good idea. Yeah. This is a good idea.
All right.
We can do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. What better way to talk about the visual differences of a car than on a audio only format?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this will be our first video.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we could do that as a first video.
Yeah.
Oh, people are going to see what we look like?
No.
Ugh. All right.
We are on YouTube.
That's true. We are on YouTube. Oh, we are on YouTube now.
New for 96 is on YouTube with audio only programming.
Yeah.
But with...
We did integrate an AI program there that has animated us as stick figures.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah. There you have it. Enjoy that. That's what your Patreon money that you do not send in gets you. What else we got?
I think you wanted to talk about washing cars for the first time.
Oh, me. Yeah.
You.
Oh, God. Yeah, I did. I like have finally invested in like car wash stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know me, like if I need a light bulb, I will look at every single light bulb available on Amazon and then make my decision after 3 months of reviewing the data. And so it's the same thing with like car wash stuff. There is so much stuff out there.
There is.
I cannot believe it. And like techniques, it is controversial.
Oh my.
Like how to wash a car properly.
Yes.
And for like, I've never trusted myself to wash my own cars just because, you know, I've owned like several black cars and dear God, those are the worst cars in the world to own if you like the way they look.
They destroy themselves.
Yeah, they destroy themselves. And like the Cayman was black. I had that perfectly polished and ceramic coated and eventually was swirled and
they like burned through the paint.
They burned through
like
the paint.
The ridge line.
Yeah. Yeah. The creases on the hatch.
Yes.
And the Celsior was also like perfectly.
That car was mid anyway.
Oh my God. The Celsior was also perfectly paint corrected and ceramicked painstakingly.
Yes.
In Kevin's garage.
He didn't realize it would take him 36 hours to do.
No.
When
yeah.
He agreed to it.
Because the car, the square footage, the amount of car.
It was a lot of car.
It was a lot of car. So it took a while. Anyways, keeping up with cleaning that car, a nightmare. So far, since then, I have owned nothing but non-color cars that were not black. So silver, gray. And... You know, much to my chagrin, of course, I want a color. But anyways, so I finally... you want to know what the breaking point was for me?
Mm.
I took this Mercedes to the kind of like nearby detailer, and I was watching them wash the car and drying the car. And so they were drying the car. And
is this where you said they used the drying thing on the interior too?
Yeah. So they like basically wiped the rim, and then started wiping the interior of the car. And I'm like, this is disgusting. I think I accidentally ran over the remnants of a squirrel earlier.
Yeah, don't sell him short. He spit on it to get it nice, to lubricate before he took it to the dashboard.
Yeah, to be fair, I said I wanted to see my face in this. Yeah, so that spit shine really did do quite the number. I was really grossed out by that and decided I'm just going to buckle down.
Whatever you do, whatever chemicals you... first of all, I'm not lecturing you because you've read more about this than I ever will, but... if you're using a good, decent mitt that's soft, you can feel that it's soft, and you keep it clean, you're not going to damage the car or make it worse. And whatever you're using is going to be better than what they were using in terms of chemicals, in terms of the formula and the mitt and all that stuff. Whatever you're using, you care more than they probably do. Even though they're professionals, but we're talking a mass car wash place where they do your car in 20 minutes or
right whatever. Yeah, well, and so I bought some good mitts and I tested it on myself in the shower first.
Okay.
I'm gonna say pretty soft.
Okay.
Lathers well.
Okay.
And I bought myself a foam gun and I of course comically when I used it the first time lost control of it and it took me for a ride. So as I sprayed it all over the driveway instead of on the car. And what I dislike is, I will say, it is, as people say, a very cathartic thing, being able to wash your own car and just kind of, it's relaxing. It's very relaxing to wash your own car and, you get to kind of also get to know all the little nooks and crannies of your car as well, for better or worse. So you see where all the flaws are, but you also, you just get to see the car like you would normally not get to see the car if you're just using it. But the worst part, though, I will say this part sometimes makes me not want to wash my car, is that one, you have to wash it outside, which means that if you have neighbors, and I feel like this is a universal thing, if you don't have a deep driveway where the sidewalk is far enough away, inevitably you will have a neighbor walk up to you and say, "So you doing my car next? Can I pull up?"
That's what they say.
"How much do you charge?" And it is always an old neighbor, an older neighbor.
Yeah.
So it is maddening sometimes because first of all, I have AirPods in usually.
Yeah.
And so someone will walk up to me and talk at me.
Right.
And I'm like, well, my hands are really wet and soapy. Hang on, let me stick these in my ear and soak my AirPods so that you can ask me if I'm washing your car next. And it is annoying. So, and that happens to you, right?
I have only one neighbor that would talk to me, but that's it.
Oh yeah, after that next door post. Yeah.
Next door's trying to get me back.
Are they?
Yeah.
Kevin was banned.
Don't know who I am.
Well, you switched your name to Kevin McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
They're unaware.
Right.
Yeah, of your history.
Yeah, they're trying to warn me about the wet bandits, but I am not falling for it.
Yeah. Anyways, me talking about washing my own car
makes
me feel out of touch a little bit.
This is good. No, this is good.
I'm asking about how much, does a banana cost, Michael?
This is good. Have you washed the 911?
I haven't yet, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I have not yet. Okay. So I will do that. I just started doing this at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
So...
Our weather has been very spotty with cold and rain.
Yeah.
And...
so I haven't really driven the 911 a lot. So it's still, it's dusty, but clean. So yeah. I haven't washed it yet. I need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that does remind me, I need to start preparing for the Hill Country
Rally. I was just going to say, you had a whole list of things you wanted to do and it is now a week and a half away.
Yeah. It's coming up there. So I may have what is it today? Oh my God. Yeah. It's three weeks away.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to cut down that list a little bit. I should make sure there's oil in it, first of all. Yeah. That grinding sound when I start it probably indicates that it needs something. But yeah. Anyways, I think that might be a podcast.
Good ep. Good.
Oh my God. Pat yourself on the back a little harder. The reviews
are in.
The reviews are in.
Yeah.
New for 96, still on.
Still on.
As reviewed by the Montrose Penny Saver.
I wish we had that.
Oh my God.
Please.
Oh, right. And we did win. We are still highly JB rated Powell. By J.B. Powell and Associates, a subsidiary of J.B. Weld and Co.
Yeah, I hope that this year we get another please stop contacting us award.
That won't stop us.
Yes.
All right. Oh, yeah, wait.
They know what to do. Look at us on Instagram at newfor96. Email us at newfor96, spelled out, at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Instagram. Yeah, I mentioned the Instagram. And also YouTube. We're newfor96. We got the good handle on YouTube.
We got the good handle on YouTube. We're good. So if you want to watch audio content,
yeah,
number one source right there.
Number one source, watching audio content. And hey, I mean, why don't you subscribe? We're hoping to get... We're hoping to get into the double digits.
I can't wait for like YouTube comments to happen. That's where like the money is.
That's where the money is, yeah.
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 All right. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.